Channel 2 Riot and Leo and reports on how he handled the situation in the backyard this morning when nobody, he was talking to the boy. This is Leo and Helen and Faye and me at lunch this Monday, the 1st of July, 74.
In your own personal opinion, how do you think I handled the situation this morning?
I think it needed handling. That's what I think. I think it needed what you've done.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Well, I didn't get too rough, I don't think. I wasn't too easy on the boy. I wasn't too harsh with him, I don't think.
He was scared stiff.
And I wasn't backing up, and I told him, and I told the guy out there, Frank may tear him up yet. Now, when he started messing with Helen stuff, I'm telling you what, that Frank, he got to hate you. Oh, he was crying last night. He stopped over there, and he kept pacing back and forth, looking for him.
Good thing he didn't show up,
isn't it? It is.
Let me tell you, Guy Miles, it is. Because he'd have been black-headed this morning instead of red-headed.
Now, he can't appreciate that because he hadn't seen Frank in operation.
No, Frank can't stand for anything of mine to be bothered with. I don't care how it is, or wore out or what have you.
That's Mama. That's it. And if he wants to know anything, he don't come to me. It's Mama.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you think he'd ask me for money to buy a pack of cigarettes? Uh-uh. He'd ask her in a minute, wouldn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Don't eat that. I don't eat this.
I want a bite of this,
don't
too.
Don't eat that. I eat this, too.
I'm still going to get a bite of this. It's what I want.
All right, hey. Now, this thing we worked up on a little deal. There's a record of his, of the things he's done. And then here's this Audubon walk. And what we're saying in there is that these chaps ought to go on a nature walk, and they ought to have somebody like Nealon to go along with him so they know what in the world they're looking at. Now, ain't that a complicated thing? That's what it's saying. I mean, the things to say to them are very simple. Now, this here, this hardwood planting out there, you can look at that in different ways. But he has had that 2 acres out there that they gave him when he retired, except that he worked on it before he retired. He retired in 1957. And he's put in hardwood planting, hardwood trees. That is almost, hardwood down here is almost anything besides a pine. Yes. And what he's saying is that they're putting in so much pine, if that pine borer ever gets started, there won't be any stopping of it. It'll just level the whole darn forest.
Well, you know, it started, now speaking of that, it started in North Carolina.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was North Carolina. We passed
all them trees, the pine
trees.
Dead
on both sides of the road.
They turned brown from the top all the way down.
Mm-hmm.
They started at the top.
Mm-hmm. On both sides of the road. I remember seeing it now.
Well, and then here's this thing, Lord Neal in the West. You ought to read that. You take that with you and just read it at the church shop. That's up until he was... He left the West when he was about 18, 19. And what it does, it shows you all them things he did. He went up there in the High Sierras, you see, logging. And he's up there with them Canadian lumberjacks when he's 18 years old. And you see, he learned. And he got it at the right time where it got in his blood. Well, now you see what it is. These chaps don't do anything. They can't even hold a row of cotton.
They can't even cook their own breakfast.
No.
No.
So you, it's You see, my understanding of the typewriter writing the book, well, it's a very simple book. It ain't anything complicated. It ain't something you see that'll set you apart from anything else. And that's, if they read it. And, you see some of the things we've done out here. Something like this morning, that'd be something if you could get that down. Of course, you couldn't handle that.
No. That's dealing with John, with
more
his practice.
On the,
is what
more on the private side.
That's too private to put down, yeah, but it's so it's a...
Well, you can remember it upstairs.
Yeah.
It'd be hard to forget, won't it?
Yeah, you always working from it. All that's in your mind is the influence in your mind. See, now that's that Cardinal family, because they just stay all day. Just as soon as you put out a little feed, do a bedtime.
That takes me back. I can't remember the name of the book. You know, when you read so much, I forget the names of things. But the ostrich that used to be in Florida, it was a book about Florida. And, the homes were on stilts, and these men came in and killed the ostrich to sell their feathers, and that was the beginning of the dying out of the. And it was, I can't think now. I was trying to think of the.
I don't want to tell him, but I tell you what, I want you to tell him. Why don't you bring out one thing to him?
Listen to you.
This boy. About the time that I come down here and Molly was so lame she couldn't walk.
Yeah.
I'm not bragging, but I want you first to tell him about that.
I wish you could see it.
Don't forget, I had two vets out here, two black horseshoe men out here trying to fix it.
That was, I'm still
first
studying.
Time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the first time I was ever out. I told you, I'm afraid you can cut like Oldsmobile, I'd be out here.
Mm-hmm. I didn't believe it. I told a guy you
Well, I saw that. I mean, I was a witness to that because I saw him run after.
Oh, are you?
Mm-hmm, I was with him.
Yeah.
Right there at that gate.
Mm-hmm.
I had that old Dodge station wagon, my horse trailer behind it, and all the family with me.
Oh, the whole family was here.
Didn't they?
Yeah. And we saw the horse run after he worked on it.
Well, now tell again what were the symptoms of Molly?
She was lame in her front feet.
Yes.
And the blacksmith had trimmed her feet and trimmed the hoof below the path, and she had a corn in the path of her foot, and I trimmed that corn out.
And she jumped.
And it relieved the pressure. And she had limped around for a week or 10 days, 2 weeks, something like that. And when she got that relief, well, she just showed us all what she could do.
She mm-hmm. just went out there and tried it.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
And it worked.
And jumped up off all fours, didn't she, Faye?
Mm-hmm. Just leaped.
You put her foot down and she went out there and sort of put her weight on it and to find out she could walk.
And it just tickled to death. And she raised up and... Well, her and Tony did raced around that field.
She jumped up clear off the ground.
Mm-hmm. Clear off the ground.
And then she and Tony lit out.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's contagious. When Tony sees one horse sees another one,
mm-hmm. they want to do the same thing.
Yeah, it was something.
And how long did it take you?
Just a matter of
minutes.
Mm-hmm. With your pocket knife.
With my pocket knife.
And it's perfectly clear to see there.
Sure.
And that had worked up there since the vet cut it off.
Yeah. Well, see, he had been trimming her feet too close, her hoof too far below the path all the time.
Yeah.
That's what that hard hoof is out there for, is to protect that path.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes.
It's like you put shoes on your feet to protect your feet.
Yeah.
Well, that hoof grows out there to protect the frog and the pest.
And he's cutting it too short.
He's cutting it too close.
Too close.
And I told you it'd take 2 weeks, month,
mm-hmm.
for that hoof to grow out
mm-hmm.
and cover that up.
Well, it's just like a broken fingernail. If you break it into the quick, how sore it is until it grows back out.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing you can do for it. It
well,
hurts.
What blacksmith was that, Faye? That wasn't Anderson, was it?
I think it was. He was the one who was working on it.
He was working on it when Barbara was here. Well, that was about the time. Yeah.
Y'all remember when it was? I don't
know. It was the first day you ever came out here.
Mm-hmm.
And I brought that old on Thanksgiving, on Friday after Thanksgiving. And this was Saturday morning. I don't remember many days, but I remember that one. Because I told Guy, Molly wouldn't put her foot down.
No, she wouldn't put her foot on the ground.
Mm-mm. But she just leaped. Because I thought that was so pretty.
Pressure.
And I had just ended my row. I'd had two blacksmiths out here, and I'd talked to the vet. And they kept saying something wrong with her leg.
I guess she felt like that something was wrong all over. If it hurts, you know, if your feet hurt, you hurt all over. You rule.
Yeah, pocket knife right here. Just pull that pocket knife out of your pocket.
My pocket knife wouldn't oil anything off.
Wouldn't cut hot butter?
Yeah, that's
so. That would impress that boy. That really would.
He seems like he's interested in things.
He'll learn now.
Gotta straighten him out.
In fact, Mary, he didn't have his first lesson.
Well, an encouraging thing to me was when he said to you, I'd like to do something with you. I'd like to learn.
I'll take him with me. Yeah.
Well, if he could go with you, I'd just advise him to drop some of that stuff up there.
I'll take him with me.
And go around and learn a little bit of something.
I'll take him to Pennsylvania and show him some real experiences.
I want to go just one time to see the horses you were talking about.
You couldn't put up with me one trip.
Well, I could or not, unless you give me some pills. I could join you.
There ain't no, you couldn't put up with me that 1,000 miles.
I might take some pills and join you. I wouldn't know the difference, would I?
There you are.
I might surprise you, but I expect I would surprise myself more.
I'll tell you what, before you ever leave, you keep your mouth shut when it comes to my driver.
Oh, he scares me sometimes.
How'd you cough it, did you?
Yeah, I got some of it.
Well, tell you, yesterday morning I sure didn't know that things were going to happen this way. All I knew was that, you know, when I talked with you the second time, you know, that you always come on over, and so I sort of tiddled around a little bit and took a nap, and I thought, well, we'll have a nice quiet.
Well, let me tell you.
Kind of an exciting experience.
Look at that beautiful thing. Can't he a beauty?
Mm-hmm.
Look at that head. I do like to have a head like that.
Ooh, that's pretty. Shame it had to move.
Yeah, he gets a mouthful and away he goes.
Yeah, it's been kind of an exciting experience. It's costly but profitable.
Well, I tell you, we're beginning to get enough at home that we're ready to move out.
You get... It's costly and you don't know how profitable it is?
I don't mean right in our house, but the neighbors is... I don't even care for the girls being out in the yard sometimes.
Oh, really?
That's right.
We had a fella move in, he and his girlfriends, and one got tired. He switched, I think. One was there a while, and then another one came. Not what happened to the first one. I haven't seen her. But I wish you would see just one time. You wouldn't want to see that, what they live in.
No, that went there now. It's in Pennsylvania.
It is?
Yeah.
Huh.
She used to run away from Pennsylvania. She stays right there all the time. She never gets outside.
But anyway,
what they're looking for.
It's in a... It used to be an old garage and workshop now. The windows, there are no windows. They used to have a part, just like you'd cut out the wall, you know, and put that piece on hinges, back and forth. They crawl through the window to get in.
No door.
And they have curtains. What time they aren't inside, they're hanging out. They fly out the hole, in other words, you know. And I don't know what's in there. There's no provisions to cook. Unless there's electric hot plate or some kind they brought in there. And they climb out the back window. There's a bigger hole in the back part, smaller one on the side. They climb in and out that hole, and honestly, sometimes there's 5 and 6 cars over there.
Next door to you?
Next door, right in the door. And Mrs. Sapp doesn't come outside. She's a diabetic, and she has...
Can't see, and she can't hear.
Well, she needs surgery on her eyes again, cataracts. She's had surgery once, and I think her eye is just about the place, you know, ready for... She needs it, I think, now. And the girls, when they go over and help her out, you know, if she's out or she comes over to the house or something, which has been a while now, but they'll, if they see her out in the yard or anything, they'll ask her if they could help her. You know, and help her walk or this time take hold of her and lead her, you know. But she stays inside, and her daughter lives there with 3 teenage boys.
And
they keep
this, and all this other stuff?
Yeah, they keep the road hot back and forth, too. Okay? They're friends of these others. That's why they moved in there, is want some of these boys' friends. And there's been 2 different girls over there. I don't know where. I just don't try to keep up with it all. I just want them to stay on their side of the fence. And they've been, I did see them go out back in the field and jump the fence and go use that back road to go into town.
Oh.
They travel back and forth that way some. But now they have friends coming in to tow them back and forth in the car.
I told them I was going to put electric fence up, and I think that kind of scared them off. If I had electric fence,
I'd put it on the high.
Oh,
you mean like a fence unit?
Just electric fence unit, like a.
You mean like it's used with animals?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well,
oh, yes.
You've got one out there.
Does that still work?
Sure.
Put it up around it and put it up high enough that, well, just where they couldn't get over and couldn't get under it without getting swatted either way.
Fix them?
Well, if you have your fence up high enough and put it on top of the fence, that'd be doing the way, you know.
Yeah, really fix them.
But it's a mess, and I have to. That's the only thing that scares me when Leo goes off, you know, up the country. I have to leave the girls alone.
That plugs into the lights.
Yeah.
Well, you're right there next to the fence, so it's no great plugging.
That don't cost me no. I'm right there by the fence.
Might be enough wire out there. I don't know.
But you know that's terrible.
How long would you want?
It's bad enough. People to live together, you know,
all by part here too.
In a decent place, but when you get nothing but, I mean, it is.
Really out there.
I don't have any insulation.
I don't know. I would do something with keeping out of back there. But first thing you know, they're going to knock the fence down, and that's going to be it. Frank will end up hurting one of them. Well, Frank's staying home now.
He knows.
He
knows. They were out back. They came over to the fence to talk to him the other day. He went over and looked to see what kind. He just come back shaking his head.
He told him. I heard him tell him out at the fence. Day before yesterday?
Yes. Yeah, Saturday.
Saturday
it was.
He said, "Now you fellas keep your voice down. I don't care what you say over there." But he said, "Don't let me hear you talking like that no more."
He's ready to straighten them out.
Well, he knows them. He went to school with some of them.
They're rough. They're rough talking customers. They said, "Now you first keep your voice down. I don't care what you say, but don't let me hear you say it."
Yeah.
I hate to see Franklin turn on the side of the law.
Well, I tell you, I'd have to. That's one reason I like to take the girls as much as, you know, but I don't like to, I always call home and check. If they take me to work, when they get back, if they got in back in all right and back in the house, I always call every night when Leo's gone.
Helen,
you all
got
to get on the road.
And it's 15 after 1.
I know it. And Harriet Ann always says, "Mama, don't forget to call now."
Mm-hmm.
She says, she always tells me that when I get out.
Well, you tell your doctor that we want him to...
Fix him up right.
Do the right thing.
Ma'am?
He will.
Yeah.
I don't know whether he will or not.
You know, when they lived there, when they lived in Hawthorne, the girls would go out and stay at a week's time with him.
Oh, really?
More than this. And you walked to Chalkland at her house.
Oh, really?
She is strict.
Yeah.
Yeah. She wants you to do things. She wanted to learn things right.
Mm-hmm.
Her way.
I'll check in with you tomorrow
right
before I leave.
All right.
Good enough.
Well, thank you so much for the lunch.
Yeah. Good enough.
Enjoy.
Well, I appreciate you coming. Sorry you had to take the time.
Channel 2 right, and the tail end of this visit with Leo and Helen with the boy in the kitchen, except he's not here. He's reporting to us on what happened out in the backyard when he was getting the boy straight. This Monday, the 1st of July, 74. Channel 2 right around 300 or 400, and the end of this count in the kitchen of what happened in the backyard when Leo was getting the boy straight. This is Leo and Helen with Faye and me this Monday, the 1st of July, 74.
Citing the roots. decision, Nike challenged in court. A spokesman for Appalachian Power Company and had expressed disappointment at the decision.
He likes this stuff.
Patriotic duty to go somewhere on the 4th, and in a place like this, it seems almost that times are normal. Terry Drinkwater, CBS News, Oceanside, California.
Some vehicles that haven't been on the road this holiday weekend are today's version of the old Pony Express, the highway post offices. They were absent not because of legal holidays or heavy traffic. They have been phased out. Charles Osgood reports from Route 71 in Ohio.
Jim McCaskey has been working the U.S. mails for well over 30 years now. But he belongs to a species of postal employee who just this past week crossed over the line from endangered to extinct.
We're certainly sorry to see it go. Can't spend 30 years without thinking something about it.
At the end, there were only 19 men who sorted mail this way, by hand, aboard specially rigged trucks called highway post offices. The last high pole made its last run last weekend, an overnight trip between Cincinnati and Cleveland. The idea of the highway post offices was to process mail en route, to transport it and work it at the same time. They were put into operation just before World War II in 1941. And at one time, 1961, there were more than 200 such trucks on the road and 4,000 men working on them. Most of the men who've been working the high pose will retire now or be transferred to inside, more regimented jobs like these. The theory now is that processing can be done faster at places like this one in Cincinnati than trucks, or in the case of first-class mail, flown between Cincinnati and Cleveland in air taxis contracted by the Postal Service. So it's the end of the road for these fellows, for whom Hebron and Astavula have been slots, known to them the way a piano player knows B-flat or F-sharp. For whom Chillicothe is a flick of the wrist, Novelty, Black Lick, and New Albany, like neighbors, and the Villes, like old friends, Granville and Danville, Thornville, and Painesville.
like out here, you got to get on the mail work for a certain destination or else it won't get delivered the next day.
You have teamwork out here. That's the big thing out here, is one man will help the other one, and none of this, that's my job, the heck with it. That's his job, let him do it. Here, everybody works together, and you get it done real quick. So the highway post office is our history. You won't be seeing them anymore along Route 71 or any other road. Maybe most folks in Cincinnati or Cleveland won't notice the difference. Although most of these fellows tell us they're convinced the mail service is not going to get any better. No way. But they'll miss it. They'll miss the crazy hours, four long days on, then eight off. And they'll miss the sway of the big trucks at night, the feel of the highway beneath their feet. And most of all, they'll miss being the special people they were. Charles Osgood, CBS News, on Route 71.
I'd rather hear that than the news.
There ain't much on the news anymore, are there?
Oh, you know, same old
Nixon
thing.
Nixon had a sore leg.
I got a sore side. Sore head. Inside.
Well, all you have to do with that young fella, young lady, is just a handler. Put a halter on her.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. A little halter wouldn't hurt her at all, would it?
No, it'd make a woman out of her.
Yeah.
One just her size.
Have you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, if we'd have had it, it'd done been on her.
Well, that's what happened to me when I came in. We got one right out there.
Maybe we'll do that next time.
Yeah.
I'll be around next week.
Cookie Helen said you weren't too fond of these peas.
No, they're all right.
But that just happened to be what we were cooking tonight.
You know, we were doing something and all the food got cold the other day, and the iced potato was just plumb cold when I ate mine, and you know, a cold iced potato tastes good.
It does.
You know, potatoes aren't good until they're warmed up three or four times.
Yeah.
Then they get good.
Yeah.
Yeah. You didn't know that, did you?
No. You mean mashed potatoes and baked?
No. You take just plain old stewed potatoes.
Yeah?
The more you stew them, the better they taste. That's right.
That ought to help you some. And there's cornbread here, Mr. Cookie.
All right.
Well, that's just perfect for a restaurant, isn't it?
Yeah, but they don't ever warm them up, only in hash browns for breakfast. Charge you 40 cents for them.
Salad down there and tomato.
You mean now?
They
didn't use to charge anything.
Uh-uh.
They just threw them in, Cookie.
You walk in a restaurant and get a bowl of beans and chunk of cornbread and cost you 95 cents. That used to be you couldn't get it. Now then it's a luxury.
Yeah.
Brown beans.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Fuck that.
Where's salt, then? Oh, my
thing.
Hey,
Jack.
Step over here. Do you want some help?
No, ma'am. No, just salt.
Now, these peas have a history. I went down there yesterday afternoon and picked them. And the way it looked, there wasn't enough peas down there to make a mess. I took them over to Miss Daisy. She and Faye taken out of that little patch this year. And the only trouble is, I get in on the tail end.
With the weeds.
Yes, they've all put up peas, eat peas and put up peas.
Have some.
Little speaking. Man.
Little man, they're speaking to each other.
And they're going to be Molly speaking tonight. I'm going to stretch them out.
Yeah, your friend sitting up there. Threw that in the head.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he's a handsome fellow. Don't you know he knows he's handsome?
Most of them do.
That's a bright little filly. She's got good sense. She's out there eating those ahead.
Can you tell whether a horse is going to have any sense from at this age?
Yeah.
Think she got any sense?
She got plenty of sense. You see how when she turned around there and got to look at me and I got to petting her on her nose, I guess that's the first time she's ever been petted in a close pen. She got just as calm as anything you ever saw.
Yeah. And when you moved, she walked out, just took her time.
Mm-hmm. Just took her time. She wasn't a bit excited in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Not one bit.
All they have to do is go out and look for a little liquid food.
Yeah. First time I've eaten your house for a long time, man.
We're celebrating New Year.
Yeah. Don't be surprised if I bring her back. You can be surprised now.
Well, I hope you find a good place for us, but I should be fine.
It will be a good home, or I'll bring her back.
Now, what I want to see is that little thing out there doing a little plow, though.
I'll bring a 18-inch collar back for her.
She got a little neck.
18-inch, yeah, okay. Now, God didn't know that measure that neck.
No.
What did you use?
When did you measure a neck?
I used my eye.
You just estimated.
Yeah, sure, and an 18-inch collar will fit her just snug, just right.
And that's a small?
That's a small collar, yeah.
Well, I had to take up that little halter. Oh, it is far as a pony head. Hmm. I put Mrs. Saddle on her. I little Amy's saddle on her.
Yeah.
And went to the last of the notch. But it went.
How did she,
Fine, she didn't care where I am.
You rode her?
Yeah.
That's good.
Rode her all morning. I mean, rode up all around the pasture. With a baby right with her.
Yeah? Hmm.
You got a nice little trot. A slow trot, you can sit it. Fast trot, you have to post. At least I posted. And I didn't push it to a low.
Well, she's not a rough rider.
No, she's not. She got a fairly smooth little trot.
Well.
I'll give her a vitamin or two.
If you don't want the filly to go along, what you do is just put her in the canal, in the corral.
Yeah.
And the second time you do it, she'll take it for granted.
Yeah.
Well, as long as you're just riding in the pasture.
She's not in the way. The only thing, put her out on the road, but it wouldn't be...
No, you wouldn't want to do that.
something you might want to do?
No.
I might not get back by Thursday.
I don't see how you can, could it?
Oh, I could.
Well, it depends on how many stops you got. How much, you don't know about how many tram stops you got.
Uh-uh.
They just come up.
Yeah. I was mad up in, Orangeburg, South Carolina. About 7 miles east of Orangeburg. It's got 7 head of horses it wants to sell. And there's another one up in North Carolina. You got one big pinto it wants to sell. And there's a woman in Glassboro, New Jersey, called me last night, wants a horse.
Okay.
All the way from Glassboro, New Jersey.
For a horse, way out here.
I'd have a hard time finding Glassboro, New Jersey, Helen.
I'm afraid I would too.
Right on Route 322, just east of Wilmington, Delaware.
Gosh, just to think about it, you traveling all up there.
I told him I'd like to go with him one time.
Take your vacation.
Say, it's not altogether just getting there at a certain time. Cookie says, he says, you know, if you run a tramp shift, something will develop, and he can go off the beaten path and see what it is.
And that's the fun.
That's where all the fun is. There ain't no fun to get out here and just run straight up the road.
Why, sure or not?
If I go up and say, I go into some of them little hick towns in Georgia, I hear a man got an old mule he wants to sell or trade. I got something on the trade. Man, I'll make a right flank and I'll go.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Now, ain't no use of man getting in the truck and just beating his brains out right up and down that road. Right down that road. Not unless he's got a load from somebody else, or where they're all mine. I can do as I please.
Sure.
Well, where do you pick up word of those things? At the truck stops?
No, truck stops or wherever I stop. I mean, I'm trading wherever I stop. I never meet a stranger.
Just asking if I have any sales.
I'm always desperate, you know. You're always desperate, see. You got to be desperate.
You got to be desperate.
You got to be desperate.
Well, up 301, we pass
That's in Page from South Carolina.
But yeah, that's right. I knew
you
got to
just...
You got to win some place. Hey, I wonder where there's a horse sale at tomorrow or tonight.
Just like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody looks at you like you're a fool. Well, maybe you are a fool in their book. Well, I don't know, but I said there's a man out here in on this Clay Road just south, about 3 miles. He's got a horse he wants to trade off.
They'll say that?
Yeah, sure. That's where all the fun is.
Oh.
I'm telling you, they can use some of the idiotic directions that you ever heard tell of in your life.
You want some of that faith?
And you'll find out about these.
Yeah.
And you get out there, and he's showing up, you'll have what he wants to tell you.
If it ain't, I'll try my best to make him think it is.
Well, he won't. He don't object to trading with you, does he?
No.
As soon as you start trading, it's just like you've known each other for a long time, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
It'll give you about 5 minutes.
If they're natural traders.
been about 5 minutes, and he did better be careful, and he won't hardly have any shoes left. But I'm liable to have them.
Cookie, you don't run into many just really natural traitors.
Oh, yeah.
Do you?
Yeah. Yeah.
You can spot one pretty fast.
Yeah, John L. Lee from Benson, North Carolina is a big horse trader.
But he's a big one. I'm talking about these fellas you run into, like the man 3 miles down the road got a horse he wants.
Oh, no, no, you don't run into them. No, them are just casual, everyday poor people.
Yeah.
Like you are.
Yeah, just like myself.
If he happened to be a trader, it'd be an exception.
Yeah. And you can usually come out all right when you trade with people like that, usually.
Cookie, most people who have just a horse, you know, not a fancy horse, just a horse on the side, they don't more like to trade, don't they?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They'll tell you the truth?
No, they'll tell you a lie and then laugh about it.
All of them?
Most of them, 95% of them will.
And just let you find out about it.
Let you find out. You just got to be slicker than they are.
Well, for one thing, after a horse is about 10 years old, you can't tell too much about his age, can you? You can tell when they're 40, of course.
As long as them teeth are in a shape about like that.
Yeah, and hit.
And hit all of them, there is nothing to worry about.
That's right.
Because they are just turning
about
10 years old.
10 years old.
They're just coming about a 10-year-old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But now whenever they start sticking out like that and they're all haggard and they don't meet, you better watch out.
That's right.
Oh, and the horse Daddy bought one time. I never will forget that. Uncle Fred was quite a horseman himself, you know. He loved horses. He went to get it for Daddy. And he was so ashamed of it, he brought it back through the woods. And before he got home, he tied it to a tree and took his pocket knife and cut its tail off. His tail was dragging the ground.
Well, you know.
Oh, well, that was a pitiful horse.
I prayed for one so poor one time I shamed out. I brought it through the backwoods.
I don't blame you.
Really?
Yes, sir. Right here in Florida.
Oh, that was a poor looking horse.
Whoo! Okay. Sometimes you start to get caught.
I made out all right.
But you didn't keep him and give him rations. You can't come out doing that.
Mm-mm. Only horse I kept and fed rations just for the heck of it, for spite, was old Silver. That's the third horse I had. He was the best horse in the state of Florida. Wasn't he, Helen?
Mm-hmm.
But he was old.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I remember you said that.
And that little old Sarah, she could take him and do anything she wanted with old Silver. Anything. Take him and ride him right down the street and with 50 mares around him, and that horse never opened his mouth.
He was old.
You turn him out, though, and he wasn't old. He acted young.
Oh, really?
He acted like a 2-year-old.
Is that right?
As long as someone had a hold of him,
uh-huh.
There wasn't a finer horse in the country. Heck, me and Jack Stoker were spending some cows. And I was riding him, and Jack was riding that $10,000 stud of his. Two studs riding right along together. And a cow broke out of the herd. I didn't have to tell Silver to get it. I had to find some leather.
Uh-huh.
I had to hunt leather, because he had left me sitting out there and got that cow. I tell you what, I just beat Jack Stokes. He just couldn't hardly believe it. Old Silver had that in him.
Yeah.
But he sure got him. He sure got that cow. I had her. I was around her and had her turn back before Jack Stokes ever got to where she was at. I did. And Jack will tell you that.
Uh-huh. I bet. Awesome, I'm with
you. Well, now take this little map. What appeals to you about her?
Her gentleness, kindness.
Well, you ain't interested in gentleness and kindness.
I am if I'm going to sell her to people that is interested in gentleness and kindness. She's just a good man. She's a good nature. She is. She's good nature.
She doesn't even have mean thoughts, does she?
She don't have a mean look, no. You can have one's got a mean look. Little man.
Yeah.
Now he got a mean look.
Yeah.
And he is mean too, because he bucked twice with me before I got the trailer.
He put his ears back, you know what he means. You better leave him on.
He bucked twice with me.
Wait a minute, he going the wrong way?
No, he is feeling good. Mean. He just want to work off some meanness.
Oh, that is.
But you put little kids on him and he
now you noticed how he did with me.
Yeah.
No, that's right, and let me rub right up against you, but he won't bother me. I never had him offer to do anything.
Well, I tell you what, if I had a buggy whip just happening when I was trying to get that mare, I'd have whipped her. I was so mad, nothing makes me more furious than to go up, get almost to them,
mm-hmm.
and walk off. And then walk off and look at you.
Mm-hmm.
Did they do you that way?
Yeah.
And of course, I knew it.
Well, now, if you'd been here, you'd gone ahead and caught her.
I'd have caught her one way or the other.
Well,
what other way?
First of all.
Huh?
First of all, I'd have hung my halter on the fence post, stuck me a hay string in my pocket.
I'm right there.
I went up to her and pulled my belt off and put her around her neck and then rode her in. With my belt around her neck.
That's the way you would have done it?
Yeah.
Well, what if she'd kept right out of your reach?
I'd have hemmed up in the corner someplace.
Well, you can't hem a horse. They can cut right through.
Why can't I?
You can get one in the corner if you do it right.
I can take that lariat I got behind the seat, and I'll hem me a horse.
Mm-hmm. You don't want to get a lariat out for a little gentle horse like that.
I don't care. I'll still hem that horse with that lariat.
What do you mean, him?
Put it over top of a post.
Yeah.
You get her going right down the fence. She thinks she's going to go someplace. Pull that lariat up and just wrap her right around her and walk up to her and get a hold of her mane. Mm-hmm. I've handled them many a time like that.
You mean throw it over the
fence post? You don't put it over them. You just hem them in the corner with the rope.
Oh, don't tell me.
Mm-hmm.
Why, yeah.
I never even heard of anything like that.
Now come again on that. You make a little pin up.
You got a post right down here.
Yeah.
Oh, you're coming down this way. You got a fence down this way.
Uh-huh.
All right, you got a post down here.
Yeah.
All right, you tie that lariat on top of that post.
Mm-hmm.
You lay it down.
Mm-hmm.
Get her up there in the corner.
Uh-huh.
Then you reach up and pick up the lariat, walk right over to this side, just wrap it right around her, and the first thing you know, you're right up to her head, and she can't go no place.
Wrap it around her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Oh, about her hindquarters?
Yeah. She can go no place. Stand there and look at you. You walk up and put a bridle, a halter, or anything you want to on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or just stand there and talk to her.
Yeah.
I've not seen that.
I'll show you one day what I mean. I may have to catch a little man.
Yeah.
Well, the thing I
you couldn't catch him that way. He'd break out.
No, he won't. I've caught him that way lots of times.
Is that right? Suppose he breaks out.
Well, go get him again.
You don't succeed the first time. Try again.
You don't never give up.
Mm-hmm. Well, I knew I should have caught up yesterday, but I just got tired and said, "Oh, to heck with it." But I got used to the bucket. So this morning, all I did was walk up here and with a bucket.
I still want to know how you do this.
Now, you running the horses who never had any feed, sweet feed?
Yeah.
So they don't know what a bucket's for, do they?
No, they don't know a bit more about a bucket. No.
How long does it take them to learn?
One bite of that feed, and they're just about.
It took her. That's how long.
One bite of that feed, and they know what's in that bucket then.
Is that right?
That's right.
This morning she knew that bucket had something in it.
Yeah.
She right to me, right there.
Now, some people make a bad mistake by fooling their horses.
I always have feed in it.
Yeah. They'll take an empty bucket out to get your horse with.
Yeah. Well, once or twice, once in a while.
Yeah, just once in a while, you ain't gonna catch them too.
Mm-hmm.
They're gonna pay you back.
Reckon?
No, shoot, it doesn't. One time is enough to know what they know.
One time. Mm-hmm.
All I can think about is this tramp steamer. This is a tramp cattleman. Tramp. You've got to have words every now and then to say things. You can't say you're tramping up and down the highway. It's not. It don't go right.
A good for him.
Mm-hmm.
That's silly enough, but he's going to eat a hamburger from now on.
You need some hash brown potatoes to go with them.
What are you for dinner?
I don't know what you eat for breakfast.
What do you eat for dinner?
I don't know.
Well, that's what I eat for breakfast.
You haven't eaten.
Is that it? Well, don't ask me. I wasn't there.
So?
I was in bed. First time I got up, it was before dinner. Second time I got up, it was after. I heard Ann had beans.
That brown beans.
They had a tramp, how you say
that? Cornbread.
Tramp trucker.
Tramp trucker.
No, tramp trucker.
They had, yes, cornbread, brown beans. Oh, that's right, we at the table, weren't we? I forgot. I was there. Tuna patties.
Oh, yeah.
Brown beans and cornbread. It ain't fixed in hot.
Tuna
know.
Patties and potatoes never did get done.
Huh?
Did they?
Yeah.
Not for dinner.
The tuna?
I said potatoes.
Oh, the potatoes? No, I didn't see any. They scraped them. What to do with them?
And they were cooking when I left.
They fixed it. They did the cooking. I didn't, so I don't know.
You're not going to interfere with them.
I ate a tuna sandwich, and that was what.
Cookie can't interfere with him. He might get the job.
Well, he says he can, he knows how, but he's just not going.
Could you say a tramp trucker?
Yeah.
There ain't. I never heard of one.
That?
Or the originate one.
Yeah.
You ever hear one?
Mm-mm. I ought to put that on the side of my trailer, on.
Tramp trucker.
Yeah.
Tramp trucker.
Roving trucker.
That'd be about like it.
Tramp trucker. Tramp is the word.
Yeah, tramping.
That means you don't have any particular route. You just go wherever, you know, you got a little load or something.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's fine.
Cookie, can you gently move a dog?
Me? Sometimes, some kind of coon dog can.
Yeah.
Coon dog?
Yeah.
You
old man hold still.
No, thank you.
She accused me of rolling it to him when I said didn't have a coon dog.
Who?
Mr. Hope.
He wouldn't hunt coons?
He said he wouldn't. I don't guess he had to hunt coons because the man gave him to me. I got $50 out of that.
50?
Yeah.
He was a daddy of a friend of ours.
The old man gave him to me.
He gave him to Leo. Leo sold him.
That cost you something.
Supposed to be a coon dog, wasn't it?
He said, now there is a coon dog. I said, well, Pop, I said, what do you want for that coon dog? I said, he's a good one. I said, well, tell me what you want for him. I didn't give him $25 for him because I knew a man wanting one, see. But he never put no price on it. When I got ready to leave, he said, I tell you what, he said, I may never see you again. He said, I'm going to give you that dog.
Oh.
Yeah. So he gave me that old dog.
And that's somebody you didn't know?
No, I knew him, yeah.
Up there around your place?
Up North Carolina.
Oh, yeah.
And I brought him down here and kept him 3 or 4 days. And Mr. Holt took
the
note.
Took
an ocean buying us for a coon dog. I got a coon dog, a black and tan coon hound. All you want for it.
Well,
Oh, I said he's a good dog. He's a fine looking dog. He was a good looking dog. Actually, I didn't tell him no lie. I said, now he's a good looking dog. And he was, wasn't he, Helen?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, he's supposed to be a coon dog.
Supposed to be a coon dog.
That's what the man told you when you gave it to him.
That's what the man told me when I traded for him. Said. And he asked what I wanted for him. I told him I wanted $65. Buttoning around about, way, well, I got $50 out of him, but $65 trading money. But $25 $50 actual cash. $65 trading money, or $50 actual cash.
Well, what'd you take in on him?
Horse.
So you know about what the horse is worth, so you can tell how much value you're getting on your dog.
Yeah, I gave him $50 and a dog for a horse.
Yeah. Well, you see, I can't tell that, see. Now, you see, I traded with Johnny Sims for Molly and traded Dinkle. Well, I think I paid Johnny Sims $100. And what he said was he would give me $150 for Dinkle. And then he wanted $250 for Molly. Well, anyway, you took it, you see. I come out ahead of him. But I didn't know it.
Yeah?
I don't know whether he knew it or not. But Dinkle, you know, had bad habits.
Dinkle would bite and kick.
He'd do a lot of things. But he knew Dinkle. I mean, there wasn't anything like that.
Yeah, Johnny knew Dinkle.
So, now, he had so much in this horse, or else he was trading the horse. Oh, you know how he does. There's a horse the man didn't want, so he got Dinkle and sold Dinkle to somebody and then paid the man. You know all the angles.
Oh yeah.
And the next week, Johnny came back up here and wanted to buy Molly back for $350. The person that he had, who had sold Molly, regretted it and wanted her back.
Yeah.
And for $350, well, she's worth more than that. But anyway.
Yeah. That's it.
Yeah, that's it.
So you see, Dinkle wasn't worth $150. But he just traded on my price.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And then he put Molly's price accordingly.
Did like when Mr. Holt made me the offer he did on him on Rowdy and Tony. It was just so much money that I absolutely could not refuse it. I just could not refuse it. Then people was hassling me over here. I had no place to keep him, you know what I mean? And if he ever sells Rowdy, I'll
get
him.
Has he still got him?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
He's been offered a flat $1,000 for him. And
okay.
No, Rowdy.
Well, you're not likely to get him back then.
Yes, I will.